If you take your Bibles, please, and turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 17. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning of verse 17. Part of this we read last week, but this is important enough to go and hit it again. Again, Ephesians chapter 5, beginning of verse 17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. As we look at these verses about the Spirit, let's go to God in prayer, shall we? Father, we know we have the Spirit. But Lord, there's more to being a Christian than just being saved. So Lord, as we look at these verses, may you touch each one of our hearts. May we hear you and your Spirit. And Lord, again, when we leave this morning, may we know that we have met with you and that we have grown with you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As you probably remember by now, the first three chapters of Ephesians, Paul taught about the spiritual blessings, the honors, the privileges that Christians have. When a person makes Jesus Christ his Lord and Savior, he becomes a citizen of God's kingdom, a member of God's family. And as Paul wrote early on in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, he receives every spiritual blessing in Christ. But along with the blessings and the privileges, there are also responsibilities and obligations. As his children, God expects each one of us to act like the new person we have become in Jesus Christ. He expects his standards to become our standards, his purposes, our purposes, his desires, our desires. Beginning with chapter 4, halfway through his book, Paul began teaching his Christian readers, us, how these blessings should affect how we live. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Just the first three verses, just to remind ourselves. Ephesians chapter 4, the first three verses. Paul said, Ephesians 4, verse 1, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Christians, as we already seen, are part of one body. Christians need to walk together in unity. Later in verses 22 and 24 of chapter 4, Paul wrote, to put off your old self and put on the new self. And then in the first half of chapter 5, Paul wrote to walk in love, to walk in wisdom, and to walk in light. But no one can maintain this kind of walk on their own. Even Paul wrote in Romans chapter 7, verse 18, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. There's only one way that a person can walk the way that he should, to the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit. So Paul wrote, therefore, that is, for this reason, Paul wrote that each Christian needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Christians need to walk in the Spirit. Unlike the earlier statements about walking in light and love, this statement is a command, and it's addressed to all Christians. This is God's will for every believer. It applies to every Christian, not just the spiritual ones, whatever that means. It's not an optional choice. As we talked about a little bit last week, this verse should really read, keep on being filled with the Spirit. This is the command. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit, or walking in the Spirit, is something every Christian should experience all the time. not just on special occasions. And notice too, a person doesn't fill himself. He permits the Holy Spirit to do the filling. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit. When a person trusts Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, he's immediately baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, "For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we're all given the one Spirit to drink." When one is saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live in each Christian. Romans 8, verse 9 says, "And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ." But being filled with the Spirit, or being continually filled with the Spirit, is more than just having the Spirit or having a baptism of the Spirit. The filling of the Spirit means that one gives himself completely to Christ. Every Christian has all the Holy Spirit, but the command is that every Christian walk in the Spirit or be filled in the Spirit and not live in the old nature. When someone's filled with anger, his mind, his emotions, his body are controlled by anger. If someone's filled with joy or happiness, kind of like Natalia, they're bubble over in everything that they do and everything that they say. Similarly, when one is filled with the Holy Spirit, he is controlled by the Holy Spirit in everything that he says and everything that he does. Such a person is continually controlled by the Spirit in his mind, his emotions, his will, his actions. He's a new creation in Christ. But as Paul is reminding us, Christians must choose to walk in the Spirit. And in today's scripture, Paul gave three results, three proofs of the fullness of the Spirit in the life of a believer. First, he said, if a believer is filled with the Spirit, he is joyful. The filled believer is joyful. In Galatians 5:22, joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Christian joy is not a shallow emotion that rises or falls depending on the circumstances, whether the Packers win or lose, whether Brewers do well or not. That doesn't affect the joy of a Christian. Christian joy is a deep feeling of confidence and peace in good times and in bad. Again, Christian joy is a deep feeling of confidence and peace in good times and bad times. A Christian can be joyful even in the midst of pain and suffering. Paul wrote in Philippians 4, verse 11, "I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances." This contentment and joy accompany the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, from Philippians 4, verse 7. Paul wrote that when a believer walks in the Spirit, he has an inner joy, a deep down joy, that shows itself in his speaking in psalms, in hymns, spiritual songs, and in singing. God puts music in the soul, and then on the lips of his children who walk in obedience to him. Spiritual music isn't hindered by a monotone, more enhanced by a magnificent voice. Psalm 66, verse 1 says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." Spiritual joy will shine through any and every song sung from a heart filled with joy. Paul compared being filled with the Spirit to being drunk. Think about it. When a person is drunk, he's under the control of alcohol. He does feel a sense of release. It seems like, for the time being, all of his troubles are gone. He isn't ashamed to express himself. He doesn't hide what's going on in his life. Since the alcohol controls his brain, he's basically out of control. He makes a fool of himself and calls attention to himself. He may sing, but his songs usually reveal the corruption in his heart. On the other hand, the person who is filled with the Spirit is under the control of God. He expresses an inner joy. He's not afraid to express the glory of God. While a drunk is out of control, the believer experiences a total self-control that is really God in control. Now, the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians 5 is self-control. As compared to the drunk who glorifies himself, the Spirit-filled Christian glorifies God And like Paul in 1 Corinthians 4:10, is willing to be a fool for Christ. Instead of calling attention to himself, the Spirit-filled believer is a witness for Christ. The Spirit-filled song, Christian song, comes from God. Turn to Psalm chapter 40. Psalm chapter 40. A Psalm of David. God called David a man after his own heart. So Psalm chapter 40, beginning verse 1. David writes in Psalm 40 verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will put their trust in the Lord. God gave David a song. Again, I'll turn to the New Testament for another example. Turn to the story of Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail. Turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Begin in verse 22. Acts 16, verse 22. Kind of in the middle of the story. The crowd joined in an attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison. The jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them singing. In spite of pain and shame, Paul and Silas were able to sing praises to God in the Philippian jail. If you read the rest of the story, you'll see that the result was the conversion of the jailer and his family. And what a happy time that midnight hour was. And they didn't have to give in and get drunk to pretend and enjoy it. Christians who are filled with the Holy Spirit and should enjoy being together and experience a oneness in the Lord. They do not need the false stimulants of the world. Christians have the joy of the Holy Spirit, and that's all that they need. We ought to have a good time. We ought to have fun in church. The joy of the Lord should be here in our midst. The joy that comes from being filled with God's Spirit. Paul went on to write that the second proof of being filled with the Spirit is that one is always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Spirit-filled believers are thankful. Again, Spirit-filled believers are thankful. There are a whole bunch of different attitudes about Thanksgiving. Some people are unthankful simply because they think they deserve every good thing they have, and they expect more. Jesus told a parable about a young fool who wasn't thankful. Turn to Luke chapter 12. Let me show it to you. Luke chapter 12, begin in verse 16. Luke 12, begin in verse 16. Jesus said, number 18 says, and Jesus told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This I will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God. The rich man arrogantly assumed that he was in charge of his life and his destiny. He gave God no credit for his blessings and saw no reason to thank him. He quickly found out, though, that he had no power to protect his possessions or his life. The second attitude is seen in the hypocrites that we call the Pharisees. Jesus described them in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector in Luke chapter 18. He said, the Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, even this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. Yet Jesus made it clear in the very beginning, praying about himself. Although the man used God's name, his thankfulness was to himself and for himself. He used God's name only to call attention to his false piety, his false holiness. God had no part in that prayer. It was totally worthless. The person who thinks the world owes him everything is never thankful for anything. Excuse me. A third attitude about Thanksgiving is that of a truly thankful person. Turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Begin verse 11. Luke 17, begin verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as he went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and praise God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Excuse me. The Samaritan was truly thankful. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. As James 1:17 says, he acknowledged that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. Everyone is grateful or thankful for things at special occasions, things like birthdays and Christmas. But Paul commanded his readers, Christians, to always give thanks to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." In our own strength, we could never obey this command. Only through the filling of the Holy Spirit can we be successful. We all know verses like Romans 8:28, which says, "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes." But in the midst of suffering or trouble or testing or disappointment, it's difficult, if not impossible, to be able to give thanks in our own strength. After Peter and the other apostle had been flogged and ordered not to speak again in the name of Jesus, Acts 5 verse 41 says that the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they've been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for Jesus' name. If you stop and think about it, Paul wrote about being thankful to the Ephesians, the part that we're reading right now, when he was imprisoned in Rome, awaiting trial and possible execution. These are examples of being thankful for everything, the bad and the good. This is the result of being continually filled with the Spirit. Being thankful in all things is not a Christian option, a higher order of living that one is free to choose or not. As Johnny Erickson Tada wrote, "Giving thanks is not a matter of feeling thankful. It's a matter of obedience to God." We can give thanks for everything because even though we may not understand, we know that as 1 Corinthians 4:17 says, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. The third proof of being filled is being submissive. A filled believer is submissive. Paul wrote, "Submit to one another for Christ." Submission doesn't mean to cringe and obey. It has nothing to do with the order of authority. That is, who is in charge. But rather, submission involves the operation of authority. That is, how it's given and how it's received. Christians are to reject self-centeredness and work for the good of others. Submission is nothing more than a decision about the relative worth of others. Several times Jesus tried to teach his disciples not to throw their weight around or seek to become great at someone else's expense. Unfortunately, they failed to learn that lesson. And even at the Last Supper, they were arguing who was going to be the greatest. When Jesus washed their feet, he taught them that the greatest person is the one who uses his authority to build people up, and not like the Pharisees, to build up his own authority and make himself important at someone else's expense. In Matthew 22, verse 39, Jesus said, "Love your neighbor as yourself." Submission declares that we are of infinite worth, and so is everyone else. Galatians 3:28 reminds us that there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Romans 12, verse 3 adds, "Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." Submission is a strong and free act of one's will based on agape love, sacrificial love for the other person. Let me show you an example. Jennifer kind of sang about it. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, begin in verse 1. Usually we start at verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. "If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." Submission is a way by which we realize that our happiness, our fulfillment, are not dependent on our having our own way or getting what we want. Submission is a willingness to consider the needs of others above our own self-interest. It is a commitment to live in relationships where the worth of a person is valued and where getting my own way gives way to considering the concerns, the needs, the interests of others. It's a way to respect and love other people. Submission is almost agape love in action, sacrificial love in action. This is why Paul said that Christians are to submit one to another. Christians are to respect and love other people. Believers are commanded to live a life of submission, not because of their station in life, but because Jesus lived a life of submission, and so that this is the only way to find life. Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 39, "Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." All of us are to submit ourselves one to another in fear, or really out of reverence for Jesus Christ. It can't be it's a my way proposition. No one can say, "I want you to know that I'll do as I please. If I want to do it this way, I will do it this way." Such an attitude is not a mark of being spirit-filled, of being a believer, or even the lordship of Jesus Christ. The command, keep on being filled with the Spirit. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit, but Christians must choose to walk in the Spirit. Proofs of being spirit-filled. The filled believer is joyful. Christian joy is a feeling of confidence and peace in good times and in bad times. The filled believer is thankful. Giving thanks is not a matter of feeling thankful, it's a matter of obedience. And third, the filled believer is submissive. Submission is the willingness to consider the needs of others above our own self-interests. Walk in sacrificial love. Walk in light. Walk in wisdom. And now, walk in the Spirit. It's above the ability of mortal man to imitate God and walk in this way on our own. Oh, we might make a step or two, but then we're going to fall. Paul's challenge and command to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit is addressed to Christians. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, it's addressed to you. So I guess the question to this morning is, if Jesus is really your Lord and Savior, how does your walk measure up to his yardstick, this book? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to fill you continually? Are the characteristics of joy, thankfulness, submission evident in your life? The choice is up to you. Again, as Joshua said in Joshua 24:15, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. If you let the Holy Spirit fill you, like the jailer in Acts 16, you will be filled with joy, and you will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. Unlike salvation, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is a one-time thing, being filled with the Holy Spirit is a lifetime activity. Daily, ask the Holy Spirit to fill you and to use you, and then watch what he can do with you. Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 13, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Keep on being filled with the Spirit and walk in Jesus' steps. Let's pray. Lord, you've given us a hard challenge. Sometimes think that it's difficult because you want us to recognize that we can't do it on our own. Lord, help us to be wise. Help us, Lord, to recognize that we cannot do it on our own. Then, Lord, help us to look to you. Help us, Lord, to open ourselves to you, to allow you to fill us and to use us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.